there's a quote that when you're starting a business, the years are short and the days are long. And that's how it's been for me. You know, this decade's gone by so quick. Now, there's been a lot of grind in there, but it goes by fast, you know. And I usually tell folks there are no overnight successes. It's going to take you 5 to 7 years to figure something out. So just get your best idea and keep working on it.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started.
20 Minute Leaders is a proud supporter of Make-A-Wish Israel and Tech to Peace, and is in proud collaboration with Secret Chord Ventures, J Ventures, Riverside FM, Fusion VC, Birthright Excel, J Impact, Leap, Google for Startups, and Hippo, and in media partnership with CTech.
Hello and welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. I am really excited to be joined today by Brian Clayton, the CEO and co-founder of GreenPal, an online marketplace that connects homeowners with local lawn care professionals. GreenPal has been called the Uber for lawn care by Entrepreneur Magazine and has over 200,000 active users completing thousands of transactions per day.
All right, let us do it. Brian Clayton, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Michael, it's great to be on the show. It's great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very, very much for being here. Brian, all the way from Nashville, Tennessee. I just love the intersection of technology with the world and the way the different people grow up. And I think this speaks also to your journey as well, from growing up and taking part in certain actions and then seeing the mobile development world and software in general, and seeing how that integrates to take your own experience and to leverage that into that of so many other people, and connecting, you know, through a marketplace for a real need. I just love that. And so this is going to be a fun episode for me to sit back and hear an entrepreneurial journey from, you know, a real entrepreneurial journey. So Brian, first of all, tell me a little bit about, you know, what you're doing today. And then what I really want to do is I want to go back all the way to the beginning and hear how this whole thing unfolded.
Yeah, sounds great. So my name is Brian Clayton. I'm CEO and co-founder of a company called GreenPal. GreenPal is a mobile app that works like DoorDash or Instacart or even Uber, but for lawn maintenance. So if you rent a home or own a home, you need to get somebody to cut your yard, rather than calling around on Facebook or Craigslist or something like that, you just download GreenPal, pop your address in, you'll get 4 or 5 quotes from lawn care services in your neighborhood, and you can hire them right through the app and pay them right through the app. And after the mowing goes well, you just set it and forget it and move on to other things. GreenPal is a 10-year overnight success. My co-founders and I have been at this thing for a decade, and now we're nationwide in the United States, around 300,000 people using the app to get their lawn maintenance done. Around 33,000 contractors use it to run their lawn mowing business. So it started off really slow and humble, but now we have a strong nationwide network.
300,000.
That's
10-year overnight success. We're gonna have to unpack it as much as we can in 20 short minutes. Take me to the beginning. Lawn mowing. How does it start for you? Where does your own upbringing fit into this?
Yeah. So I didn't start off as a tech entrepreneur. I actually started off as a lawn guy. I started mowing grass in high school as a way to make extra cash, and stuck with my little lawn mowing business all through high school, all through college. And when I graduated college, I had to make a decision. Was I going to go into the job market or stick with this little lawn care business that I had? And I didn't really want to be a lawn guy my whole life, but I thought, hey, maybe business ownership could be my lane. Maybe it could be the thing that I could, you know, do with my life. And so I made a little business plan with what I learned in business school, and over a 15-year period of time, ended up building one of the larger landscaping companies in the state of Tennessee where I live, getting that business to around 150 employees, over $10 million a year in revenue. And then in 2013, that business was acquired by a national company. And so growing it from just me and a push mower to me and 90 some odd trucks going out every day, I learned how to get a business going. I learned a lot about the industry. And then when I sold that company, I thought, well, what am I going to do with my life now? Because something was missing. I didn't have a project, a mission. I didn't have a company to pour my energy into. And I thought, well, somebody's going to build an app to make it easy to get this service done. It might as well be me. And it was naivete as an asset. I didn't really understand how challenging it was going to be, but just got in there, recruited two co-founders, and started working on it.
Incredible. And so tell me, going back to that first business, some of those business lessons you've learned about yourself. It sounds like you're very motivated and intentional about the way that you're experiencing these endeavors. It's not just not just money, fame, and ego. This is about, you know, building something that's meaningful to you and having a significant stake in it. What were things that you've learned about yourself, about the business world from your first experience?
Yeah, really, both experiences are similar in the way that you look back and it's almost like levels of a video game, and you just work one level at a time, and you don't get bent out of shape about, you know, levels 8, 9, or 10. You don't worry about Bowser when you're on levels 1, 2, or 3. And that's how the first business was, and that's how my second company, GreenPal, is. And as you are going through these levels, you as the founder, you as the entrepreneur are leveling up. You are getting new skills. You're growing. You're evolving. It's one of the funnest things about starting a business is that if you're doing it right every 2 or 3 years, you should evolve into a totally different person. And that's how it's been for me for the last 22 years. You know, it's like we're not taught things like management. We're not taught how to be decent leaders. We're not taught how to do bookkeeping. We're not taught how to do strategic analysis. We're not taught how to run a business. And you have to really learn these things as you go in order to get from one level to the next. And that's one of the cool things looking back 22 years that I've observed is that it's caused me to do things in life that I never would have done and become somebody who I never would have been.
That's a really interesting way of putting it. It's caused me to become a person I never perhaps would have been.
Exactly.
How do you feel that it transcends into life outside of the business? You know, the person that it forces you to become.
Yeah, a lot of virtues that you acquire starting a business from scratch. Humility. Well, one of the most humbling things you can do is start a business, because you realize really quick that nobody cares about it. That the only value you have is solving a problem for a customer. And however much attention you want to garner for yourself, it doesn't matter so long as what is the value proposition of the business and is it making people's lives better. And so that's really an exercise in, it's not about me. It's about my customers. It's about my stakeholders. It's about the people that depend on the business. And so that's a really good lesson to learn in life is humility. And starting a business from scratch will definitely give you that lesson. And then the other thing is just how to become a decent leader. And leadership really is servitude. Leadership is serving others. It's helping others get to where they're trying to go. And maybe the business is the vehicle to do that. And leadership, you know, can spill into all other sorts of parts of life, whether it be being a parent or being a good member of a community or volunteering. You know, like my business, I am my business, and those virtues definitely affect other parts of my life. And I'm grateful for that, you know, because if I just worked a regular job somewhere, I don't think I would have gotten that exposure to learning those skills.
Right. Tell me about GreenPal and a little bit about what you had to study in the marketplace of your business, of the consumer behavior, of the freelancers or the contractors, the different businesses. What did you have to learn in order to be successful in creating this marketplace?
It's a great question. Getting a marketplace going in any vertical or use case is really, really challenging because, you know, if you're just building a SaaS product, it's kind of like being a construction worker. You've got a set of specs and you just build it and you try to listen to your users and you try to make it better and you ship it and you deliver it and you charge for it. Building a marketplace is less like being a construction worker and more like being a gardener, kind of like, you know, experiment over here, work the soil over here, try to get something growing over here and just kind of observe what happens. And so the feedback loop takes a lot longer, and like, you'll make decisions today that won't show results for like 6 months until you figure out what really happened. But because you're orchestrating this dynamic between buyers and sellers, and you're trying to figure out how to deliver a marketplace, a way for them to do business before that's 10 times easier than they could beforehand. And it really does have to be 10 times easier. I get a lot of founders that ask me advice about marketplaces and how to build them. And it's like, yeah, okay, that would be nice if you could push a button and hire a painter for your home. But is it really 10 times better than just going on Yelp and finding somebody and calling them? I don't know. And so it's like, you really have to deliver something that is a lot smoother, faster, quicker, cheaper, simpler than the status quo. And a lot of times the wants and needs of both sides of that transaction are at odds with each other. And so you're kind of this arbiter of what's fair. And it's challenging. It's basically got to go from failure to failure, experimenting without a loss of enthusiasm. So that's one reason why it took us a decade to get this company going.
And ultimately, what were some of the consumer behaviors that you've identified as, you know, insights for your own success that you've sort of, that you really narrowed it down to that made the big difference or the big leap?
Yeah,
here.
When you start a business like this, you have all of these assumptions and you have all of these things you think are true until you get the product into the marketplace and you start listening to people using it. And so we were wrong about a lot of things. One thing we were wrong about was we believed we were delivering a luxury service, kind of like Uber in the early days with their black cars. And we believed that our strategy would be to go high end and then work our way down. And so we started realizing real quick that the people that spend, you know, $3,000-$5,000 a year with their landscape maintenance don't really need an app like GreenPal because their vendor is giving them white glove service already. What we learned really quick was it was the lower end market. It was the people that just wanted a lawn mowing every 2 weeks for $30 that nobody was returning their phone calls. They were getting flaked on. They were getting ghosted. Nobody really wanted to work with them. That was the consumer demand that we were able to make it as easy as just ordering a pizza off a Domino's app or something, you know, as easy as ordering an Uber. And whereas the status quo is, you leave 10 voicemails for 10 different contractors. Maybe two might call you back. One might give you an estimate, says you'll be there Thursday. He doesn't show up. Like, that's the typical customer experience for trying to get this chore done. Well, with GreenPal, they just pop their address in,
wow,
push a button, and it just happens like magic. And so tackling that lower end, $1,000 a year customers is where we found that we had a strong value proposition. So that was one of the key insights really early on, like in the first year, that we didn't know until we started talking to our customers and experimenting with who we were marketing to.
And what's it like running for 10 years on something like this? So you have this idea. Did this idea change dramatically over these 10 years, or what did change significantly over these last 10 years?
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't know the first thing about starting a technology product a decade ago when I sold my landscaping business. But it's remarkable how the idea is exactly the same as it was back then. It's, hey,
wow,
grass is 3 feet tall. I can't get anybody to mow it. I should be able to just push a button and get it done. And then on the contractor side, it's, I've got 300 of these people on my books. I don't know when I'm supposed to be where. I'm not getting paid quick enough. This is organized chaos. I hate running this business. I need a simpler way of doing it. And so that's the value proposition for contractors. And so it's like they now all of their stuff, all of their customers is in the palm of their hand. They get paid within 24 hours. They know where they're supposed to be every day. All of it's organized in terms of the fastest route possible. So it's like one clean place for them to do business and not have all of the headache and chaos of trying to wrangle one of these types of services together. And so that was like in the early days, that was the idea. And it's still the same idea today. We're still figuring out, how do we make it cheaper, faster, smoother, more reliable for consumers? And then for contractors, how do we make it to where they can make more money, more profit with less headache and less effort, and still working on that same problem for a decade? So that's the same. Things that were different, learning about what makes people say yes. What is it really that the consumer is looking for? And in the early days, we thought, well, we want to give them a way to save money on lawn mowing services because they'll get five competitive bids and they can save money. And what we came to learn was people really didn't care about saving $5. They just wanted the guy to show up on Wednesday when he was supposed to show up. That's it. Like, making sure it was consistent and reliable is the value proposition, and not necessarily saving a few bucks on the service. That was something that changed really in the year two or three. We in the way we marketed the services from the cheapest way to get your grass cut in Houston, Texas, to now you don't have to worry about the disappearing lawn guy anymore. Hire a reliable landscaper with a touch of a button. You know, that framing how we make somebody's life better did change and evolve as we learned what problems we were solving in the world.
That's really interesting. How do you still take 10 years and go on this journey and stay motivated and stay humble and rigorously tackle this? How do you keep that mentality for 10 years? Is a long time. 10 years is a very long time.
You know, for me, there was one key thing I did in, you know, starting this business was I made a decision that no matter what, I was going to be working on my best idea. And that was just it. So that helped a lot in the first two or three years when we had no progress. Like, it was just really grueling. And there was many, many days, weeks, months where I wanted to give up. But the default was, well, I'm just going to be working on my best idea. Green Pal is my best idea. I have no other better ideas. Let's just keep working on that. And so that default kind of mentality really kind of enabled my team and I to slug it out the first three or four years. There was also a lot in those first three or four years, there was a lot of learning that we had to do. We had to learn how to build software, learn how to architect a marketplace, learn how to do things like SEO to get customers and stuff like that. And so that took a long time. You know, if I had known all that stuff, I probably could have shaved three or four years off of this journey, but I had to learn it. And there was no shortcut to do that. Just had to do it, had to learn. And so the other thing that I've done, I guess, over the last decade to stay motivated is to celebrate the milestones. So when we, our first year, we wanted to do 100 customers a week and we ended with 50. And then so our second year, we got to like 120 customers. And now, you know, we do tens of thousands of transactions a day, but we set out little milestones. And when we hit them, we really celebrate them like it's the best thing that ever happened to us. So that makes it fun. And just breaking that down into goals and then looking at the systems to get there. That's how we've done it. And the other thing is, there's a quote that when you're starting a business, the years are short and the days are long. And that's how it's been for me. You know, this decade's gone by so quick. Now, there's been a lot of grind in there, but it goes by fast, you know. And I usually tell folks there are no overnight successes. It's going to take you 5 to 7 years to figure something out. So just get your best idea and keep working on it.
Right. So if you're looking today at entrepreneurs that are starting their journeys, or they're in year one or two of their long journey, what question would you ask them to see if this is the right journey for them? Because it's not a trivial quest to go on.
If it's in the early stages, where I think a lot of folks just kind of meander lost in the desert, they do, and I've been guilty of this, they do everything but get a customer to put a credit card number in and pay for something. You know, what's the social media strategy? What's the brand strategy? Let's keep working on the website. Let's do everything but get 10 customers. And it's like, no, just get 10 customers, you know, like figure out if you can get 10 people to pay for this thing and just hand crank everything else. And then learn to figure out if you're solving a problem or not. That can save you 2 or 3 years of your life.
Wow.
I'll give you a quick story. I had a guy talk to me the other day. He's like, hey, I want to build a marketplace. I have this idea. I just built a new home, and I went to the back of a lumber yard, and I found out all of these like spare pieces of dead inventory that they had. And I was able to save thousands of dollars with this window here and this door here and this countertop here. And so my theory is that all of these supply houses have all of this dead inventory, and there should be a marketplace where you should be able to order this stuff like off the shelf. I'm like, man, that's a great idea. He's like, yeah. So I'm building the marketplace. I'm building the app. He's a coder. I'm building all this stuff. And I'm like, hold on a second. Do me a favor. Go to that supply yard. just say, hey, I want to sit in the back office for a week and I want to sell all of this crap you've got. And I'll sell, you know, and whatever it is, you can keep 90% of it. And see if you can sell that crap on eBay, OfferUp, Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, whatever. Just sell it manually. He's like, why should I do that? I was like, you're going to understand a lot about this business just by doing that for 2 or 3 days. He's like, okay. By the end of the second day, he calls me and said, there's no business here. So he was going to spend a year building out like the whole back-end system, the inventory system, the consumer-facing ordering system, you know, how he was going to spend a year building all this stuff, 6 months maybe to, you know,
great story.
But it was like in two days, he was able to figure out, no, there's no opportunity here. So that's the advice I would bestow upon all first-time founders and really anybody starting with a new idea from scratch. Just try to distill it down to the simplest pieces and hand crank it and then figure out if there's a business there, then build the technology.
Wow, fantastic. Brian, I really want to thank you for coming here. This was such an enjoyable episode. Really amazing journey, 10-year overnight success. Lots of great insights and just a very cool story overall. So thank you very, very much for your time and your energy and best of luck with so many more adventures that I'm sure will come. So thank you.
Awesome, Michael. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.